Welcome to your sleep story. I'm so glad you're here. Before we begin, let the day go. There is nothing you need to do now, and nowhere you need to be. Just get comfortable, let your shoulders drop, and take a slow, deep breath in, and let it all out. One more time. Breathe in and out. Good. If thoughts come, just let them drift past like clouds. Now close your eyes and let tonight's story carry you gently towards sleep. On the edge of a green, quiet wood, in a little hollow between the roots of an old beech tree, there lived a young hedgehog named Bramble. He was small and round and very soft in his feelings, and his spines were not sharp at all when you knew him. Bramble loved the night. He loved it the way you might love a warm blanket or the smell of rain on dry earth. And of all the nights he loved most the clear summer nights when the moon rose big and round over the pond at the bottom of the hill. His hollow was the coziest place in all the wood. The floor was lined with dry leaves that rustled softly when he turned over in his sleep. The walls were roots, smooth and cool to lean against. And just outside his little round door, a patch of clover grew, sweet-smelling and soft. And every evening Bramble would nibble the tenderest tips, one by one, as he watched the sky change colour. For on those nights, something wonderful happened at the pond. The moonbeams would come down through the air, slow as falling snow, and they would lie down upon the water, and the whole pond would shine like a great silver mirror. Bramble would sit at the water's edge, very still, and watch the light ripple, and he would feel, in his small round chest, a warm and sleepy kind of happiness. This is the story of the night the moonbeams went missing. It began like any other summer evening. The sun went down behind the hills, and the sky turned the colour of a dove's wing. Bramble ate his supper of cool berries, which he liked to eat very slowly, one at a time. And then, when the first star came out, he put on his little mossy slippers. He always wore mossy slippers to the pond, because the path was stony, and he waddled down the hill, one small step at a time. Waddle, waddle, waddle! The grass was damp beneath his slippers. The air smelled of night flowers. Somewhere far away, a nightjar hummed its sleepy song, and Bramble hummed along under his breath. The path wound past the old stone wall, where the moss grew thick and green, and past the field of tall grass that swayed and whispered in the evening breeze. Bramble liked to count his steps as he walked. 1, 2, 3, all the way to 40, and then he would start again. Counting made the walk feel like a gentle game. And by the time he reached 40 for the third time, the pond would appear through the trees, wide and still and waiting. Tonight he counted slowly, savoring each number. 1, 2, 3. The crickets sang in the hedgerows, a soft, steady song. 4, 5, 6. A bat fluttered past overhead, silent as a thought. 7, 8, 9. The air grew cooler as he neared the water. Cool and sweet, the way it always did. But when he reached the pond, he stopped. He blinked. He blinked again. The pond was dark. There were no moonbeams on the water. Not one. The pond lay flat and black and quiet. like a mirror with its eyes closed. And above it, in the sky, the moon was, well, the moon was not to be seen at all. Bramble sat down at the water's edge, and his little heart gave a small thump. "The moonbeams are missing," he whispered to the rushes. "The moonbeams are missing from the pond." He leaned closer to the water and looked at his own reflection. There he was, small, round, a little worried, his nose almost touching the dark surface. Usually he could see the moon shining in the water right beside his reflection, like a second friend keeping him company. Tonight there was only Bramble, alone in the black water, and the black water alone around him. A water beetle rode slowly across the pond, leaving a tiny silver wake behind it, the only brightness anywhere. "Even the beetle's wake shines brighter than the pond tonight," Bramble murmured. He dipped one paw into the water. It was cool and still. No moonbeams swirled around his toes. No light rippled outward in rings. Now, Bramble was not a hedgehog who worried easily, but this was important. The moonbeams belonged on the pond, the way sleep belongs at the end of the day. Something had to be done. So Bramble decided to investigate. He puffed up his chest, just a little, and he said to himself, "I will find the missing moonbeams. I will follow the clues." And you know what? There was a clue already, right there on the bank. Half hidden in the grass, lay a single silver feather. It was long and soft, and it shone faintly even in the dark. Bramble picked it up carefully with his little paws and held it up to the sky. It was not one of his own spines. It was far too soft for that. And it smelled, very faintly, of high places, of wind and stars, and somewhere far above the trees.
"A silver feather," said Bramble softly. "That is a clue, a very good clue."
He tucked the feather behind his ear, the way detectives do in stories, and he waddled a little further along the bank, looking left and looking right. The rushes swayed at the water's edge, tall and whispery. Bramble peered between their stems, in case a moonbeam had rolled behind them and was hiding. He looked under the flat stones at the bank's edge, in case a moonbeam had slipped beneath one. He even looked inside an empty snail shell, just in case, though he knew very well that moonbeams were far too big to fit inside a snail shell. "No moonbeams in the rushes," he reported to himself, in his best detective voice. "No moonbeams under the stones. No moonbeams in the snail shell. The case continues." And then he heard the second clue. It came on the breeze, no louder than a sigh. It was a hush, a long, soft hush, like someone saying, "Shh," across the whole wide night. Bramble stood very still and listened. The hush came again, gentle as breath. "A hush on the breeze," he whispered. "That is another clue." But clues, as any good detective knows, are only useful if someone wise helps you understand them. And so Bramble decided to visit the oldest, wisest creature in the wood. Hush, the old owl, who lived in the hollow of the great oak and knew everything that happened after dark. Hush was called Hush because she never hurried and never raised her voice, and because her feathers made no sound at all when she flew. She was very old and very round, and her eyes were like two warm amber lanterns. Bramble waddled up the winding path to the great oak. Waddle, waddle, waddle. The moon was still missing, the pond was still dark, but Bramble had his silver feather and his hush on the breeze, and that made him feel brave. The great oak was the oldest tree in the wood, older than anyone could remember. Its trunk was so wide that three hedgehogs, holding paws, could not have reached around it. Its roots rose out of the earth like the backs of sleeping giants, and between two of the greatest roots there was a hollow, dark and round, where Hush had lived for more years than Bramble had birthdays. Bramble had visited many times before, when he was small and the thunder frightened him, and when he had questions too big for his little head. Hush always listened. She never hurried him. She would blink her slow blink and say, "Tell me everything, little one." And Bramble always felt better afterward, the way you feel better after a warm drink. "Hush," he called softly, at the foot of the tree. "Are you awake?" There was a silence. Then from the hollow above came a slow, soft voice like honey being poured. "I am always awake," said Hush the Owl. "The night is my day. Come up, little one. Come up and tell me what is the matter." Bramble climbed, carefully, paw over paw, up the rough bark. Hush was waiting in the hollow, round and warm and patient, her amber eyes glowing in the dark. "The moonbeams are missing from the pond," said Bramble, all in a rush. "I found a silver feather, and I heard a hush on the breeze. Please, Hush, can you help me solve the case of the missing moonbeams?" Hush blinked, slowly, once. Then she blinked, slowly, again. She looked at the silver feather behind Bramble's ear. She tilted her head to one side, the way owls do when they are thinking deep, slow thoughts. "A silver feather," she said. "A hush on the breeze. These are good clues, little detective. But before we decide what they mean, there is someone else we should ask. The fireflies. They fly higher than hedgehogs, and they see more of the sky." And as if they had heard her, perhaps they had, for the wood is full of listening ears, two small lights came drifting down through the dark. Blink, 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 blink. They were Pip and Flicker, the firefly twins, and their lanterns glowed soft and green gold. "We heard there is a mystery," said Pip, landing gently on Bramble's nose.
"We love mysteries," said Flicker, landing gently on Bramble's ear, right beside the feather. "Especially sleepy ones."
"Will you help?" asked Bramble. "Will you fly up high, above the trees, and look at the sky, and tell us where Moon has gone?" Pip and Flicker looked at each other.
"Blink, blink! We will fly as high as we can," said Pip, "though we are very small."
"And the sky is very big," said Flicker. "Small is enough," said Hush in her slow honey voice. "Go gently. There is no hurry. The moon has waited a long, long time. It can wait a little longer." So Pip and Flicker rose into the dark, their little lanterns blinking.
Blink, blink, blink.
Up and up, past the branches of the great oak, past the tops of the beech trees, up toward the high, wide sky. And Bramble and Hush waited. They waited the way the pond waits, the way the night waits, without any hurry at all. Hush settled her feathers. Bramble sat beside her in the hollow, and the wood was warm and dark around them, and everything was quiet. Quiet. Quiet.
"Tell me, Hush,"
whispered Bramble. After a while, "What do you think the silver feather means?"
"I think,"
said Hush slowly, that the sky sometimes drops feathers, the way trees drop leaves. A silver feather is the sky's way of saying, look up.
And the hush on the breeze? Asked Bramble.
I think, said Hush, even more slowly, that the night is telling us to be patient. Hush means, wait. Hush means, all will be well.
Bramble thought about this. He liked the way Hush thought. It was slow, like honey, like moonbeams on water. I can wait, he said. I am good at waiting. Hedgehogs are very good at waiting.
Indeed you are, said Hush, and she tucked one soft wing, just a little, around Bramble's spines, which did not hurt her at all, because she knew exactly how to do it.
And then, from high above, came two small voices, drifting down through the dark.
We see it, called Pip. We see it. We see where the moon has gone, called Flicker.
Down they came.
Blink, blink, blink,
landing softly on the edge of the hollow, their lanterns glowing bright with excitement.
Tell us, said Bramble, sitting up very straight. Tell us everything.
Pip took a breath. Flicker took a breath. And together they said it, the way twins do. There is a little cloud over the moon.
A little cloud, repeated Bramble. A small, soft, grey cloud, said Pip. It drifted in from the west, slow as a sleepy sheep. And it has settled right over the moon, said Flicker. Like a blanket, a cozy blanket. The moon is underneath it, all tucked in.
Hush blinked her slow blink.
Ah, she said, a blanket cloud. That explains the silver feather.
The cloud brushed the moon as it passed, and one feather of moonlight fell to earth.
And the hush on the breeze? Asked Bramble.
That was the cloud itself, said Hush, moving softly across the sky.
Shh!
Clouds are very quiet travellers. Bramble thought about this for a long moment. Then he smiled, a small, round hedgehog smile.
So the moonbeams are not lost at all, he said. They are just waiting, under a blanket.
Just so, said Hush.
And the moon is not gone, said Pip.
It is only resting, said Flicker. The way we all rest, under something soft and warm.
Bramble felt the worry melt out of his small round chest, the way frost melts off a leaf in the morning sun. The case was solved. The mystery had the gentlest answer of all. The moon was tucked in, having a little rest, and soon it would wake up again.
What do we do now? He asked.
Now, said Hush, in her slowest, softest voice, we do the most important part of any night. We wait. We wait together, and we watch, and we let the cloud drift on in its own good time.
So they waited. Hush, the old owl, round and warm.
Bramble, the young hedgehog, with the silver feather still tucked behind his ear.
Pip and Flicker, the firefly twins, their lanterns dimmed low, like candles turned down for the night.
And they breathed, slow and deep, in the way of all sleepy creatures, in and out, in and out, in and out. In and out, 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 in and out,
in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. The night breathed with them. The trees breathed. The pond down at the bottom of the hill breathed too, dark and patient, waiting for its moonbeams to come home. Bramble closed his eyes and listened to the sounds of waiting. A leaf letting go of a branch, turning over and over as it fell. An owl's feather, not hush, a far-off owl, brushing the air. The pond sighing softly against its banks. Each sound came and went, like ripples on water, and Bramble let them all drift past, the way you let clouds drift past on a summer afternoon. Hush, he whispered, very quietly. Do you think the moon is comfortable under its blanket?
I think the moon is very comfortable, said Hush. I think it is having the loveliest rest, and I think when it wakes, it will shine all the brighter for it.
Like me, after a nap, said Bramble.
Exactly like you, after a nap, said Hush.
And Bramble smiled in the dark. Time passed, the way time passes on summer nights, softly, without anyone noticing. And then, very slowly, the little cloud began to move. It drifted, it thinned, it grew wispy at the edges, like cotton candy being pulled apart, and through the thinning grey, a pale light began to show.
Look,
whispered Pip.
Look,
whispered Flicker. And there it was, the moon, round and silver and smiling, sailing free of its blanket, pouring its light down through the clear night air. The moonbeams came down, slow as falling snow, one by one by one. They touched the treetops, they touched the grass, they touched the path, and then, at last, they reached the pond, and the whole water lit up like a great silver mirror, rippling and shining, just as it always did. First came a single beam, thin as a thread, landing in the very middle of the pond. Then another, and another, until the water was stitched with light, like a quilt being sewn by invisible hands. The ripples caught the light and tossed it back and forth, and the rushes at the edge glowed silver green, and Bramble's own reflection appeared again, small and round, with the moon shining right beside it, like a second friend keeping him company. Bramble dipped his paw into the water once more. This time, moonbeams swirled around his toes. This time, light rippled outward in rings, wider and wider, until the rings reached the far bank and came softly back again. Bramble gave a small, happy sigh.
The moonbeams are home, he whispered.
They were never lost, said Hush. Only resting. Everything rests, little one. Even the moon.
Pip and Flicker blinked their lanterns, slow and sleepy now.
Blink, blink, blink.
And Bramble waddled back down to the pond, one small step at a time, and sat at the water's edge, and watched the moonbeams ripple. He took the silver feather from behind his ear and laid it gently on the bank as a gift for the night. And he felt, in his small round chest, that warm and sleepy happiness, deeper than ever before. One by one, his friends settled around him, Hush in the branches above, folding her soft wings, Pip and Flicker, dimming their lanterns lower and lower, until they were only the faintest glow, like embers, and Bramble, curled into a small, round, cozy ball in his mossy slippers, his spine soft, his breathing slow. In and out. The pond held the moon held the night, and the night, gentle and wide, held them all. The case of the missing moonbeams was closed, and everyone, the hedgehog, the owl, the fireflies, and you, drifted softly, softly off to sleep. Good night, little detective. The moon is watching over you. Sleep well. And dream of silver ponds.